chapter 14 of Divine Healing by Andrew Murray. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Healing. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4, 9, and 11. What is it which distinguishes the children of God? What is their glory? It is that God dwells in the midst of them and reveals himself to them in power. Exodus 33:16 and 34:9-10. Under the new covenant, this dwelling of God in the believer is still more manifest than in former times. God sends the Holy Spirit to his church, which is the body of Christ, to act in her with power, and her life and her prosperity depend on him. The Spirit must find in her unreserved, full liberty, that she may be recognized as the church of Christ, the Lord's body. In every age, the church may look for manifestations of the Spirit, for they form our indissoluble unity, one body and one Spirit. Ephesians 4:4. The Spirit operates variously in such or such a member of the church. It is possible to be filled with the Spirit for one special work and not for another. There are also times in the history of the church when certain gifts of the Spirit are given with power, while at the same time ignorance or unbelief may hinder other gifts. Wherever the life more abundant of the Spirit is to be found, we may expect him to manifest all his gifts. The gift of healing is one of the most beautiful manifestations of the Spirit. It is recorded of Jesus how God hath anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. The Holy Spirit in him was a healing spirit, and he was the same in the disciples after Pentecost. Thus the words of our text express what was the continuous experience of the early churches. Compare attentively Acts 3:7, 4:30, 5:12, 15 and 16, 6:8, 8:7, 9:41, 14:9 and 10, 16:18 and 19, 11:12, 28:8 and 9. The abundant pouring out of the Spirit produced abundant healings. What a lesson for the church in our days! Divine healing is the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ's redemption extends its powerful working to the body, and the Holy Spirit has in charge both to transmit it to and maintain it in us. Our body shares in the benefit of the redemption, and even now it can receive the pledge of it by divine healing. It is Jesus who heals, Jesus who anoints and baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who baptized his disciples with the same Spirit, is he who sends us the Holy Spirit here on earth, whether to take away sickness for us, or whether to restore us to health when sickness has taken hold upon us. Divine healing accompanies the sanctification by the Spirit. It is to make us holy that the Holy Spirit makes us partakers of Christ's redemption. Hence his name, Holy. Therefore, the healing which he works is an intrinsic part of his divine mission, and he bestows it, whether to lead the sick one to be converted and to believe, Acts 4:29 and 30, 5:12 and 14, 6:7 and 8, 8:6 and 8, 9:42, or whether to confirm his faith if he is already converted. He constrains him thus to renounce sin and to consecrate himself entirely to God and to his service. 1 Corinthians 11:31, James 5:15 and 16, Hebrews 12:10. Divine healing tends to glorify Jesus. It is God's will that his Son should be glorified, and the Holy Spirit does this when he comes to show us what the redemption of Christ does for us. The redemption of the mortal body appears almost more marvelous than that of the immortal soul. In these two ways God wills to dwell in us through Christ, and thus to triumph over the flesh. As soon as our body becomes the temple of God through the Spirit, Jesus is glorified. Divine healing takes place wherever the Spirit of God works in power. Proofs of this are to be found in the lives of the Reformers, and in those of certain Moravians in their best times. But there are yet other promises touching the pouring out of the Holy Spirit which have not been fulfilled up to this time. Let us live in a holy expectation, praying the Lord to accomplish them in us.